The Early Suburban Landscape. The early suburban landscape developed concurrently with the truck farming landscape, and it was not until the later half of the 20th century that the modern suburban landscape was fully realized. Since the death of Francisco Sanchez in 1862, land speculators and financiers had been working to shape the valley landscape. During most of the 19th century, their contribution to the landscape consisted of subdividing the former Rancho San Pedro and leasing land to truck farmers and dairy operators. Of the wealthy landowners, only the Tobins built a summer home in the valley. It was constructed in 1872 along the south side of the creek across the street from the present-day Lindemar Care Center, convalescent home on San Pedro Terrace Road, also the site of another O'Lone shell mound and small village. Access to the valley was difficult from all directions due to the steep hillsides and ocean cliffs, keeping the valley isolated and maintaining it as an agricultural area, but as the 20th century began, land speculators started to more profoundly alter the valley's landscape. Since the 1870s, investors and speculators had discussed plans for a coastside railroad from San Francisco to Santa Cruz, 70 miles down the coast, and the most popular beach resort north of Santa Barbara 10. Such a railroad could generate income by bringing settlement to the coast and hauling farm produce from the coastside to San Francisco. In 1905, the Ocean Shore Railroad was incorporated by a group of wealthy San Francisco financiers and businessmen, and construction started on a double-track railroad along the beaches and coastal bluffs. The laying of track proceeded from both ends of the line with the intent of joining someplace in the middle. The 1906 earthquake caused considerable damage to construction as landslides washed parts of the newly graded bed and track laying equipment into the ocean. Despite this financial setback, construction continued, but only as a single track. The major obstacles to reaching Santa Cruz from San Francisco were San Pedro Point and Devil's Slide, just south of the mouth of San Pedro Valley. A tunnel was excavated through the point, and tracks were laid on the bluffs around Devil's Slide. Although the railroad managed to get past these engineering hurdles, financial support waned, and the tracks were never connected all the way to Santa Cruz. Hoping to regain some of their losses, the railroad operated on the tracks that were laid and started carrying passengers and freight. Passengers trying to reach Santa Cruz from San Francisco were shuttled by steam car, known as a Stanley steamer, across the 26-mile gap in the tracks. At the mouth of San Pedro Valley, an elevated rail bed ran along the beach, acting as a dike to keep ocean waters from flooding the mouth of the valley. A stone station house built on a small bluff above the ocean on the south side of the mouth of San Pedro Creek was named Tobin Station. The small bluff that the station was built on also became known by this name, although it would later be changed to Pedro Terrace. The course of the railroad is mapped on the 1915 USGS map, figure 18, where it can be clearly seen running along the coast. In an old photograph taken at the mouth of the valley, remnants of the elevated rail bed can be seen running just inland from the beach, figure 19. The railroad investors hoped to profit from the sale of land along the route and created a sister corporation, the Ocean Shore Land Company. At each station stop, new communities were planned and registered with the San Mateo County Recorder's Office. In San Pedro Valley, streets were laid out and house construction started in Pedro Terrace around Tobin Station, creating the valley's first subdivision. Another subdivision, Tobin Park, had streets mapped out in more or less grid fashion, ignoring the steep terrain. Streets or homes were never built. Tobin Park was to be located inland on the hills above the Sanchez Fork of San Pedro Creek. Even though the development never materialized, it did find its way onto maps, including a Rand McNally wall map of San Mateo County done many years later. The Ocean Shore Railroad operated weekend excursion trips to lure potential buyers to the coastside. The investors hoped that the 1906 earthquake would motivate residents to flee the congestion of San Francisco and buy coastside property. This did not occur, and land sales were slow. Only 6 houses had been built at Pedro Terrace by 1920. During the 1920s, Pedro Terrace house lots were given away as premiums in banknight drawings at Sani. Figure 18. Portions of the 1915 USGS 15-minute San Mateo County map showing San Pedro Valley and surrounding hillsides, USGS 1915. Figure 19. Mouth of San Pedro Valley sometime in the early 1900s, photo courtesy of the San Mateo County History Museum. Francisco Theaters, Larson, 1989A. Despite the slow pace of development, city passengers did cram the trains to enjoy a trip along the coast and spent their weekends at the new hotels at the beaches. Rail freight service carried artichokes and other produce to San Francisco and fertilizer in the form of manure from the city's stockyards back to the farms. Passenger and freight service were not profitable enough to offset the construction costs, and the railroad stopped running in 1920. During the last years of its operation, the railroad faced another threat in the form of the automobile. People preferred to drive their cars to the beaches and on scenic tours. Trucks were able to outcompete the railroad for hauling produce to market, and local farmers started to pool their resources in order to purchase them. Automobiles allowed for greater access to the coastside, and a demand for new and improved roads ensued during the early 20th century. The county raised funds to build the gravel and oil-paved Coastside Boulevard in 1915, replacing the dangerous Half Moon Bay Colma Road. Coastside Boulevard used the saddle crossing between San Pedro and Montara Mountains instead of going over Devil's Slide, allowing autos to travel from San Francisco down the coast to the mouth of San Pedro Valley. The road then turned into the valley toward Sanchez's old adobe and the Sanchez Fork, where it then went up and over the saddle and back out to the coast and on into Half Moon Bay. Coastside Boulevard is visible on the 1939 USGS map as the more inland route that heads south out of San Pedro Valley. Figure 20. One 1916 afternoon saw 4,000 cars crawling up the twisting dirt grade through the saddle, following an old path first used by the Olone. Trucks, hauling heavy loads of artichokes, created ruts in the road, and heavy rains generated landslides, causing temporary road closures during the winters. Coastside residents soon demanded an even better road with a gentler grade. Prohibition legislation in 1919 made the San Mateo coast a haven for rum runners and speakeasies. The isolated coves of the coast, surrounded by high bluffs, provided ideal places for Canadian ships to unload, and in 1923, up to 75,000 cases of whiskey were brought ashore around Half Moon Bay and San Pedro Valley. Figure 20. Portion of the 1939 USGS 7.5-minute Montara Mountain map showing San Pedro Valley and surrounding hillsides, USGS 1939. Moonshine was distilled in farmhouse basements and at outdoor sites tucked away in the isolated valleys, with most of the illegal liquor going to local speakeasies. During the 1920s, Sanchez's old adobe, which had been Hotel San Pedro and the Tobin's summer home, now known as the Hermitage Inn, became roaring bootleg roadhouses complete with party girls, Gervais, 1984-188, and were frequented by people from San Francisco. Hotel San Pedro became known as Adobe House and had a beautiful bar made of mahogany. After Prohibition, the adobe was used as a bunkhouse for field workers and finally as an artichoke packing shed. The Hermitage Inn burned down in 1929. Although Bill Miramontes lived in Half Moon Bay during Prohibition years, his experiences are indicative of Prohibition life in the isolated coastside valleys. Artichoke prices were down, and he worked day and night delivering gas for the bootleggers' stills. Bill talked about how men came from San Francisco and paid the farmers as much as $500 to keep a still on their property and another $500 a month if the farmers would operate it. Eventually, hijackers started coming to the coast to extort and rob the farmers turned distillers at gunpoint. Some farmers paid protection money to the hijackers, but there was still a lot of shooting and killing. High-speed boats carrying Canadian liquor would anchor offshore, and people would row out in skiffs to bring the cases of liquor in. It was dangerous work, and bodies would often be found washed up on the beaches. San Mateo Times, 1985. In 1937, Highway 1 was built using parts of the old Ocean Shore Railroad right-of-way. However, the old railroad tunnel through Pedro Point and a section of the rail bed that led to it had been demolished during Prohibition to prevent rum runners from using it. Highway 1 followed an alternative route that turned inland at Pedro Terrace, crossed the saddle between San Pedro Point and San Pedro Mountain, returned to the old Ocean Shore Railroad route at Devil's Slide, and then followed the ocean bluffs southward. The older Coastside Boulevard was pretty much abandoned shortly after World War II, although its remnants are still used as a hiking trail, which starts at the end of Higgins Way. Highway 1 is the road on the 1939 USGS map that follows the beach and is the more western route south out of the valley. In 1939, Truman Doc Denman, a furrier from San Francisco, established the 300-acre Shamrock Ranch on the south side of San Pedro Creek, not far from Sanchez's old adobe. The property included a couple of small valleys on the north flank of San Pedro Mountain, one with a small perennial stream. Since the 1920s, the property, part of the Tobin's land holdings, had been known as Happy Hollow Ranch. The site of the Tobin's summer home and whatever remained of the shell mound were plowed over to raise vegetables. The oldest buildings at the ranch, including the main house and the barn, date back to the 1830s and are of historic significance as defined by the National Park Service. Over the years, the old buildings were added onto and covered with plywood sheathing and asbestos tiles so that their appearance belies their age. The ranch property was mostly void of trees when Denman purchased it, but his wife, Marie, started a tree planting campaign. Denman operated a number of diverse enterprises, growing vegetables and flowers, raising dairy cows and chickens, and later operating a dog kennel and horse stable. He opened his own store at the ranch to sell milk from his couple of hundred dairy cows. Eventually, he sold his milk to the Sun Valley Dairy, which leased his store in 1953. The Sun Valley Dairy Store was the first market in San Pedro Valley and provided a place for local residents to purchase milk and other staples and for children to buy ice cream in the summer. Despite the automobile and the rum-running activities of Prohibition, San Pedro Valley still maintained its rural agricultural landscape with rows of artichokes and Brussels sprouts crowding the valley floor. The rural feel of the valley was promoted as an asset during the 1940s. Do You Know Your Coastside, a regular column in the Sharp Park Breakers, a local weekly paper concerned with North Coastside life, featured San Pedro Valley in a number of columns. San Pedro Terrace was described as a picturesque fishing village nestling along the beach, with shops to buy fish, crabs, and abalone, and boats to rent for fishing. One could fish for sea trout, ling cod and red-tail perch right from the shore, and boats could be rented to catch salmon, but reservations were suggested during the salmon season, when many fish are brought in. The valley itself was described as one of the most beautiful valleys in Northern California by C. Halling. He further wrote, "You may roam for miles through shady lanes and glens along the banks of Pedro Creek, where trout and steelhead may be taken in season, and that picturesque farms and homes may be seen that cannot be equaled anywhere. Game in the valley included wild pigeons, doves, cottontail, rabbit, and deer. A highly recommended place to stay was Reese Dude Ranch, where horses could be rented to ride the valley trails and the barbecue was not to be missed. The dining room was planked on the floors, walls, and ceiling in redwood and wagon wheels and game heads adorned the walls. An Italian chef from San Francisco's North Beach neighborhood presided over the kitchen." In another piece, Halling wrote, "The North Coastside and Montara Mountains constitute one of the most picturesque regions to be found anywhere on the Pacific coast." Halling implored, With Hetch Hetchy water near at hand, the North Coast side is going to go ahead with leaps and bounds, so save your gas and rubber and see the North Coast side first. One sign that San Pedro Valley was shifting away from being an isolated agricultural valley was the opening of the Trout Farm in 1950 by John and Mary Gay. The farm was originally located on the Middle Fork San Pedro Creek, just east of the junction with the South Fork on land the Gays leased from Weilers near their house and barn. The Trout Farm consisted of an earth-lined pool that was stocked with fish trucked in from outside the valley. Families could come and rent poles and fish in the pond, prices for the fish being dependent on size. There was no charge for bait or for use of the picnic tables and fire pits. In 1955, the Gays moved their operation to 21 acres of land, a short distance away on the lower reaches of the South Fork, where they built several large round tanks for rearing fish, as well as a fishing pond, picnic tables, and other amenities. They also built a house for themselves just up the hillside west of the fish farm. Photographs from the period show families standing and sitting on logs along the edge of the small pond, poles in hand, waiting for fish to bite. On weekends and holidays, capacity crowds showed up at the farm. Fritz Interview, 2002, Sharp Park Breakers, 1953b. Although development of the North Coast side remained slow, families were starting to move into the valleys, and water was becoming a problem by the early 1940s. Farmers had dug wells and used the region's creeks to irrigate their crops, but there was no central water agency to supply new homes as they were built. The Salida Beach Public Utility was formed as a public agency to supply water to the North Coast side from a series of private wells. But some North Coast side residents sought to buy water from the city of San Francisco, which operated Hetch Hetchy Reservoir in Yosemite National Park. From Hetch Hetchy, water was piped across California's Central Valley and stored in Crystal Springs Reservoir, just east of the coastside. North Coastside residents wanted to connect to this system and pump water over the coastal mountains. A fund was established to pay for an independent engineering feasibility study, and in 1944, after a contentious campaign, residents voted to incorporate the North Coast County Water District, NCCWD, with a mandate to construct a pipeline and purchase Hetch Hetchy water. The vote also dissolved the Salida Beach Public Utility. Pipes were laid during the winter of 1944-45 from South San Francisco and followed the approximate course of present-day Sharp Park Boulevard before heading south to Pedro Point. Due to war shortages caused by World War II, there was not much metal to use for fabricating the pipes, and they had a life expectancy of only a few years. By early 1950, realizing that development was at last coming to the North Coast side, the NCCWD looked to San Pedro Creek to help augment the Hetch Hetchy water supply and proposed a filtration plant along the creek. Although San Pedro Valley farmers were using more water than the creek could supply, it was hoped that when farmers sold their land to developers, the excess water could be converted to domestic use. The NCCWD was given limited rights to San Pedro Creek water and started diverting water from the creek, but it was not enough to justify the expense of building a filtration plant. However, even limited control of creek water by the NCCWD forced the farmers to ration irrigation water, making it less profitable to farm in the valley. Doc Denman's dairy operation at Shamrock Ranch soon closed.